This is The Book and the Spade, a report on the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology. Here's your host, Gordon Govier.
A graphic novel is a comic book about a serious subject. There's a fascinating new graphic novel out about archaeology, and we have the opportunity to talk with one of the co-authors, Eric Klein. Eric Klein is a professor of classics and anthropology at George Washington University, and most recently has excavated at both Tel Megiddo and Tel Kabri in Israel. And we want to get a brief update on what's going on there. But before we even do that, there's breaking news in the world of biblical archaeology today. A brand new news release out about using archaeological findings from the city of David to develop a new dating scheme for biblical events. And this is kind of an update of events from the times of the kings of Judah are now being able to date specific features like buildings that they've excavated and connecting them to certain biblical kings in a kind of precision that has never occurred before. This has to do with radiocarbon dating. I understand that in a specific time in the period of Israel, it's difficult to do radiocarbon dating. Is that right?
Yes, it is indeed. And first of all, thank you for having me on the show again. Wonderful to be back. This is very exciting news that's literally just breaking as we're speaking. Part of the problem is there's something called the Hallstatt Plateau, which is where radiocarbon dates are problematic. They don't usually really work between, if I understand it correctly, the years 800 and 400 BCE, give or take. And so this new study is encroaching upon that period, but I think they're getting dates more from, say, the 9th century and so, and are also synchronizing it with dendrochronology, with tree rings. So it's very exciting. The researchers, of course, the scholars are top-notch. So far, like you, I've read the general reports in the media, but the actual official publication is behind a paywall. Mm-hmm. So I have just sent an email to one of the authors saying, hello, do you have a PDF? Can you send it to me? I need to know what you found. So stay tuned.
Yeah.
This could be very exciting.
We'll be talking about this in the future, I'm sure. This sounds like a major discovery for the year, maybe for the decade in terms of impact on biblical archaeology. And I would just remind our listeners that we feature breaking news videos from the Israel Antiquities Authority on our website at radioscribe.com. That's where you can get a taste of this new discovery from the latest video produced by the Israel Antiquities Authority. You, as we mentioned, have been excavating at a site called Tel Kabri in Israel and uncovered the oldest and largest wine cellar in the ancient world. We've talked about that before. What's new with that excavation?
So what's new is that we have managed a final publication of absolutely everything. We had one volume, Kabri 2, that covered the 2005 to 2011 seasons, which came out a couple of years ago. And just now, December 2023, January 2024, we had the Kabri 3 volume, which covered the seasons from 2013 to 2019, meaning the wine cellar that you just talked about, published in its entirety. And since 2019 was our last season that we were there before the pandemic hit, we have now actually managed the unimaginable. We have a final report out on every one of our seasons. We're hoping to go back, not this summer, but summer of 2025. And one of our first goals will be to continue excavating something that we found during the last days of the 2019 season, right? Of course, the best is always found on the last day,
yeah.
Always. But we found another painted plaster floor, just like Kempinski and Niemeyer found at Kabri to begin with in 1989 to 93, where they found a painted plaster floor with Aegean-style motifs. In the room next to where they had found that, we have now come down upon a similar painted plaster floor. We've only uncovered 10 centimeters by 15 centimeters so far before we covered it back up. But it was enough to show that it was painted with orange and red and brown and black. The whole room should be 10 meters long by 3 meters wide. We won't excavate all of it, of course, but we hope to go back and uncover enough that we can figure out what the design is. We'll have to raise the money for that, and we'll, of course, need conservators with us as we're digging it. The IAA will be there. So we've got a lot of work to do, but I'm hopeful that we'll be able to get more of that floor in 2025 and see how it compares to the first one that was found, which really was the discovery that put Cabri on the map. Very excited about that if that happens in 2025.
And this is about 1700 to 1600 BC, a time period that doesn't really fit well into a biblical time period. But the weird thing about it is it's Minoan. It phases into the Mediterranean culture.
Yes. And actually, our radiocarbon dates, speaking of radiocarbon, are indicating that it's actually a bit earlier than we had thought, maybe by up to a century. So we now think that Cabri begins in about 1900 BC, and that it may be destroyed, probably by an earthquake, by about 1700, give or take, which means that our paintings, which are in a Minoan or a Cycladic style, may be earlier than the paintings at the famous site of Akrotiri on Santorini, and maybe even earlier than some on Knossos. So we're wondering now, like Sir Leonard Woolley wondered in the 1920s, which direction did the influences go in? We had originally thought they came from the Aegean to Canaan, but it may be that they're coming from Canaan and going to the Aegean. We shall see.
For those who've just joined us, we're talking with Eric Klein, a professor of classics and anthropology at George Washington University, about archaeology in Israel, a number of different things that we could talk about. Another is your work with Tel Megiddo, which isn't quite as recent as Tel Cabri, but there is this Roman legion base that's been in the news and is being excavated right now adjacent to Megiddo. Was that on your radar when you were working there?
It was and it wasn't. I mean, we knew that there was a base there somewhere, and I had always wanted to excavate off the mound, but it was never in our ground plan at that time. Yotan Tepper and Matt Adams eventually did open up off the mound and had been excavating in one of the fields close to Megiddo and had been finding parts of this legionnaires' camp. But now, most recently, on the other side of the highway, I think it's Highway 66, the IAA had moved in because there were plans to widen the highway. They found much, 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 much more on that far side of the road. So whereas Yotam and Matt look like they've got the headquarters of the camp, you can see where the, you know, the commander might have lived. But on the other side of the road now, they've got all kinds of other things. So much bigger than I thought it would be. I don't know if it's bigger than they thought. All of this is coming just in the last couple of months. It does make sense. We knew it was there, but finding it is completely a different matter. And I think now, you know, the only comparison you've got are to the forts that you can see surrounding Masada when you're up on top of that site. So very exciting discoveries at Megiddo. And yeah, I stepped away from being co-director in 2014 as the excavations at Cabri were heating up, and as Chris Ralston and I took over being editors of the journal Basor for the American Society of Oriental Research. And it was just too much to try and be at two digs and edit a journal. So regretfully, I walked away from Megiddo. But I've stayed in touch. They're doing absolutely wonderful work. So I'm watching with the rest of the world now to see what they're coming up with.
Well, about 10 years ago, we talked to you about the book 1177 BC, the year that civilization collapsed. You had just written it, and I think it became a surprise bestseller, really. You were surprised by how successful it was.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, that was at exactly the time. That was my last season at Megiddo. The book had just come out like 2 months before. Surprised is one way to put it. Shocked is another. I had thought it would be of interest to, you know, a handful of people. I happen to love the Late Bronze Age. It's, you know, one of my favorite periods. There were fascinating stories from it that I thought the general public might want to hear, but I was not ready for its reception. It went under the radar for quite a while, but then it kept selling and it kept selling. It got translated one language, then another, then another. Now I think it's been in 16 languages. It sold better than all of my other books combined, and I still don't know why. I think it was just, you know, I hesitate to say the right book at the right time, but certainly reading about the end of the Late Bronze Age and the collapse of the globalized system at that time made for interesting reading during our pandemic, you know? It was kind of resonated at that time. And then there were a couple of videos that were made of my lectures that showed up on YouTube, which hit the algorithm. And as people watched the videos, 1 in 10 of them decided to buy the book. Wow. I'm just so pleased that lots of people now know about the Sea Peoples and the Late Bronze Age.
Well, we live today in a very globalized world, which was like the Middle Bronze Age. And the potential of some kind of collapse, I think, looms in the mind of many people today, just like happened at that time. And do you think that was part of it?
Yes, I do think that was part of it. The collapse of the Bronze Age takes place just after 1200 BCE, hence the title of the book, 1177 BCE, which is the second time the Sea Peoples attack Egypt. And Ramses III left us his account. You know, actually, so much new data came out after the book was published, just reams of new data, that I put out a revised edition, came out in 2021, in which there is a lot more evidence, both archaeological and scientific, for drought and famine, but also textual evidence. Some of the texts from Ugarit were finally published, first in French and then in English. And so I put out a revised edition. What I did, yes, as part of that book, as I said, look, back then they collapsed because of a perfect storm. They had drought, they had famine, they had disease, they had earthquakes, they had migrations and invaders. So what do we have now, 2020, 2021? We have droughts, we have famine, we have migration, we have invaders, we have disease. Boy, do we have disease, you know, 2020. And I said, I see in today's world everything that they had 3,200 years ago, and their globalized network collapsed. Do we need to worry? I concluded, yes, absolutely we need to worry. We need to listen to lessons from the past. So, hello. Yes, I think that resonated also. And I still feel that way. I still hold with that hypothesis.
And now there's a new version of that history that's just been published, 1177 BC, a graphic history of the year civilization collapsed. You might call it a comic book version or a graphic novel version, except it's a highly researched history, brought over from the original book and translated by Glynis Fox, who is both an excellent cartoonist as well as an archaeologist. It's published by Princeton University Press, and anyone who likes archaeology or history will enjoy it. We'll discuss it further in our next conversation. We have a link to the book at our website at radioscribe.com. There you'll also find the breaking news video from the Israel Antiquities Authority that we mentioned, plus information on Artifacts, our biblical archaeology news magazine, and our next Israel tour coming up this November. That's at radioscribe.com. I'm Gordon Govier. Thanks for tuning in. Join us again next time for more Backgrounders on the Bible through Biblical Archaeology on The Book and the Spade.
The Book and the Spade is produced by Scribe Media. For information on biblical archaeology resources or obtaining a copy of this program on CD, go to our website at radioscribe.com.